Hi there, I'm Krish Saroy and welcome to the Sacred Wild Podcast. Each week I show you how to live your purpose and discover your own sacred wild spirit. On the podcast we explore the nexus point where nature, consciousness, leadership and activism come together. I talk with thought leaders to get their insights and wisdom about our collective transformation. I also show you how to own your power, give your gifts and make your highest impact on this world. So with that, let's dive into this next episode. So welcome everyone to the Sacred Wild Podcast, and I am so pleased to have this week's guest on. Our guest this week is Sarah Wiseman, who is one of my intuitive teachers, just an all-round wonderful human being, and just one of the most grounded people I've ever met in the kind of fields of spirituality and intuition and all that kind of stuff. So hi, Sarah, how are you doing today?
Oh, just wonderful. Nice to be here with you, Krish.
It's great to have you. And basically, Sarah, I've been following your work now for about, gosh, I was trying to work out. It's got to be 12 to 15 years. I'm not even quite sure, but wow. It's been a long time. And what's always impressed me is, you know, just how grounded you are and how accessible you make it. So that's great for me, but why don't you kind of tell the listeners just a little bit about yourself and kind of your background?
Yeah, sure. Thank you. I don't know, you know, I am grounded, but I don't know if it's by choice. I think it's been by the necessity of the life I've lived, even though I have had and do have these spiritual experiences like many of your listeners do, you know, all the time or a lot of the time. And yet my own life is pretty, it's not boring. It's just pretty mundane in that I've done, sometimes I call, you know, that term, the householder. That's me. I've worked, I've raised a bunch of kids. I've been married. I'm on my second marriage and, I've worked many different fields besides this. I was a journalist and so forth before. So kind of this idea of all of these spiritual things happening at the same time that the quote, the regular life was going on, and that's continued. So I think that must be part of my path. I used to say at the beginning that I felt that I was kind of a mainstream to sort of people in the middle. Now I'm teaching more people who are more in line with the higher level spirituality or the more expanded, but I still think that that's the place, like to be in the middle and go from there.
Yeah. It's a good place to be, And just kind of what kind of shifted you from like kind of mainstream life into, like you say, you were a journalist, did other kind of mainstream roles, raised a family. So what was it that kind of shifted you into this place of being a teacher of spirituality and intuition?
Yeah, thank you. When I look back, I used to say that I had a near-death experience and that opened me up. What I realize now is that I was super intuitive, a medium, all of these things from childhood, but I had forgot, as I became an adult, I had forgotten or I was disallowed that way or nothing was given to allow that to come through. And so then in 2000, I had a near-death experience on a plane. And wow. What's pretty interesting is just yesterday, someone sent me a little cartoon and it showed a guy meditating with another guy meditating and the emergency air yellow things dropped down. And that's exactly what happened to me on this plane. The emergency oxygen dropped down. Never a good thing.
No, never a good thing.
Not something you're going to be like, oh, good, this will be fun. So that was my experience. We were fine. We didn't crash. We made emergency landing. But in the cartoon, it said something about when you go to higher vibration, you're going to need this oxygen. And I just had to laugh and laugh because that was exactly what happened. The oxygen came down and that's when I had this experience of oneness in a way that I hadn't had. That's when I lifted to that higher vibration, which was setting me on this new course for the rest of my life.
Amazing, amazing. So it really, really, it's just going to show how things really can just change in a moment, albeit a very big moment, as it were. But that moment literally altered your life, as it were.
It did. It took me from one path to a path that I couldn't have even imagined. I had no idea that this was what I was here to do. So that's been interesting.
Really? So if I can just ask about that, if I may, because obviously there are lots of people who, you know, I think the vast majority of people, certainly in Western culture, probably, you know, want to make changes in their lives kind of thing. But, you know, a lot of us are very scared to make big changes. And here you are in this moment where almost spontaneously your life trajectory changed. So what was it like kind of literally almost like changing tracks, as it were?
It was, you know, just as I said, the yellow oxygen mask coming down was not a good thing. Being part of a very mainstream existence and having this happen, and I think people listening, if they've had this too, they're going to understand, it was not great. It was dark night of the soul for probably 4 years as I wrestled with. Now, some people who have the near-death experience immediately lift off into this expanded bliss state, but I was just confused. It's like, okay, how do I fit into my old life when I've changed so differently? And the hard part was all of the old life almost had to go away. And it was hard. It was a hard thing. You're raised one way by your culture, your belief system, that this is what a life is supposed to be. And then it's all just taken away. So the next 4 years were kind of struggling with, okay, now what do I do? Because I was kind of in a limbo, I guess, for quite a while.
Yeah. I get that. I mean, and that's the way change happens, isn't it? It's never, as you say, there's that often that moment that the pivot happens, but then, you know, there's the unfolding, isn't there? And we'll come back to that theme kind of later on, as it were. So given this, you know, the inquiry for this podcast is really about, you know, our sacred wild nature and like unearthing our true nature, as it were. So I'm just kind of curious, what is the central kind of tenet or question or kind of guiding belief like that guides your work and is at the heart of your work?
I'm so glad that you are working in the sacred wild. That just resonates with me so deeply. The tenet of my work is direct connection, that we are all, as part of our innate nature, nothing needs to change, nothing needs fixing. We are all able to have direct connection with the divine. And direct connection can be this idea of entering in when we go into meditation and we work with the guides or other beings. But direct connection can also be expanding out where, one, we work with synchronicities and events and signs, but also we work with everything else, all the sacred wild of which we are part, and we pay attention to everything in nature, everything in the weather, and allow that to guide us and connect with us also, or us connect with that.
Absolutely. And, you know, I know when we've spoken in the past, you've talked kind of about synchronicity and strands and, you know, kind of external signs, as it were. You know, I think I once heard you say, you know, the universe is always in dialogue with you, which I just love. So tell me a bit more about kind of synchronicity and your experience of it and how people have worked with it. And there's a little doggy just coming in.
Yeah, there sure is. So that's Abby, who lost the opso, one eye, very old. We'll see how she does. So the thing, and I may remove her, she's a little, she makes a lot of sounds that are sort of little dog sounds. So anyway, we may... So one thing in talking about synchronicity, I'll just kind of tell a little story that some folks have heard. But during the time after my near-death experience, I was receiving channeling. And the channeling would come as just very short little paragraphs of like a download of spiritual messaging. It wasn't like now where I'm getting pages and pages. It was just like a practice amount of channeling. And like, we can see if you can take five words and see how you do. And then that went on for a while, and it just was just very small and very mellow. And then one day, while unpacking some books from some boxes, and they'd been there for a year, so that was kind of the synchronicity of like, what book's going to be first coming out of the box? I just had this little game, and I pulled out Doreen Virtue's Divine Guidance. That's the title, Divine Guidance. And as I pulled this book out, I heard like booming in the room, "We want you to write this. We want you to write this using writing." And so like the voice was clear, the words were clear, but the meaning was not particularly clear. It's like, okay, I'll do it, whatever that means. And so then I just kind of thought, well, maybe I'm supposed to do this channeling more, but I was very resistant. And I think, Krish, like, this is the case for a lot of people when this stuff starts to happen. It's like, this is cool. Wait, I don't want this. This is interesting. I don't want to go there. This is too weird. And so it was a while later, I was up at the beach up kind of near Vancouver, BC, up in those islands there, and just saying like, you know, I don't really want to do this. This isn't what I want. And if this is my task, I accept it. And I was just crying and saying, you know, take me, I'm yours, sort of, to the universe. And but really a lot of grief, like not really wanting to step into this realm. And what was so interesting is that the next day, or maybe it was the day after, I got home and I had internet, and there was a message from a woman who was an agent who said, by the way, I have this book on channeling. Are you interested in writing it? And so it was such a direct correlation between saying yes and then the next step appearing. And kind of from that point, it's been like that. All the resistance has been met by yet another push to do the next thing. And now it's been so long. I'm shocked that this is the path. Like, I did not see the path. I only saw the next little step, the synchronistic next step, the little breadcrumb going forward. It just all unfolded this way.
Very interesting. And certainly that's sort of been my experience, both of synchronicity and intuition. It's kind of always that next step is next. I think if we were to see where it, you know, if we were a little bit freaked out accepting the invitation there and then, if we could see the end goal and it's like Mount Everest or whatever, then, you know, you know, I think that would be quite a freaky experience as it were.
And a lot of things, like on my path, a lot of things I really didn't enjoy, or they were really difficult to me, for me. All of this traveling about and teaching, which I have done in the past quite a bit of, enormously challenging for my style of personality. Somebody else might be like, oh, I love that. But for me, it's like, no, stay away. So, you know, part of it is like, it's not just the path. It was the personal growth necessary to do the path. Like Mount Everest, you don't just easily climb up. You have to learn and practice and keep trying, and not always like what you thought you'd be doing or what you wanted to be doing, maybe.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So, I mean, you know, obviously that's been your path for the last 20 years, as it were. Here we are, 2021. We've just been through a really interesting year. I think that's probably the best word I can use. The pandemic, obviously lots of political situations, that kind of stuff. But also, you know, lots of people kind of questioning, shifting, and, you know, there's lots of talk about a great awakening and that kind of stuff. I'm just kind of curious, what's your take on the energy of the moment and kind of where the populace is at, as it were?
I think the pandemic has been the great disruptor. And I think the politics, I mostly know U.S. politics. So I'm assuming, however, that worldwide, this state of chaos and disruption has been kind of with everyone.
We called it Brexit.
Yes, right. So I think these great disruptors of the first disruptor of our lifestyles, and then the second disruptor of how we think about things and what we think about things. And both of them are about separation. I mean, so the separation and oneness. So the pandemic has created isolation, but it's also given us the sense of oneness that we're all in this, you know, no one is immune. We're all in this together. Mm. The politics have created separation from these dichotomies of who's right and who's wrong. And and these are bringing about the bigger answer of oneness, which is the only answer. Like, there's no future in having a dichotomy of right and wrong. It just is unsolvable as a question. So these are both bringing us to this idea of, hey, we're one, get used to it. This is what we have to go forward with. There's no other answer besides this.
Yeah.
I was thinking too about nature, like this idea of like the trees. So in California, West Coast, we had all these fires this last summer and May probably will. And in Australia too. And it's really nature saying, you know, nature does this natural clearing every time frame that nature does. And nature is like, we need to do our clearing. Whether you're here in our way or not is somewhat not our concern. This must happen for the planet, this cycle or this.
Right.
And so it's so interesting. It's all like, we're not the only one clearing and reviewing our view. Nature is also clearing and reviewing when we're all doing this at the same time, again, because we're all interconnected in all ways.
Yeah, absolutely. And isn't it interesting? I mean, I think I said to you in one of our classes, I discovered in my local new little woods, we've got a little redwood grove, which is kind of really bizarre, given, you know, that was, you know, we're in the middle of England, as it were. And I was explaining to a friend that, you know, redwoods are designed to go through a fire cycle kind of, you know, every few years or so, because of course it's the heat from the fire that releases their seeds and carries them off. So out of that kind of clearing and kind of death cycle comes the new life, as it were. And yet as a race, we are obviously, well, I think, you know, obviously there's a general fear of death, but I think, you know, change is true as well. And here we are, a great change, as it were. So, you know, as we both know, astrologically, we entered the age of Aquarius, the fabled age of Aquarius, on the solstice of last year. What for you is that energy all about? What is this shift into Aquarius? And, you know, where do we go with it, as it were?
So for me personally, I wish I had my birth chart, but I don't have it handy. But I have about 8 planets in Aquarius. And, you know, so right now is like not the best time. It's very rocky. And I have met with a few astrologers and they're like, whoa, how are you doing? I'm just like, okay, but this will pass. But in terms of where we're going, we are this power by a few over many, separation, breaking things down into unequal hierarchy, competition, religion and companies having the power. We're going from all that, and also industrialization, like machines, that kind of hard technology, I guess. And we're going completely into humanitarian causes, equality, ecological awareness, internet connection, other ways of connecting, other ways of energy. And I think also, you know, we've been hearing these hints of ETs, and I think also probably bringing that energy is going to be something that's actual and real, that starts to come into our awareness. Maybe not in the way that like a movie shows, you know,
the big lights coming down from the sky.
I think that this will be like when we started to understand that was also real, which is yet another disruptor towards oneness. Mm. We're not separate from the universe. Humans are not the be all and end all, right? They were just one little piece of many civilizations, which we will over time come to know.
Yeah. One word that I'm kind of hearing in this is perspective. It's like the perspective is kind of shifting, as it were, to, you know, away from, as you say, the small little world to like a much bigger world, as it were. So what for you is the opportunity of this time for people? And especially as like a lot of people are kind of growing consciousness, waking up, or whatever you want to call it.
Well, I think that I've been thinking about this a lot. I think anytime we think we're right, and that includes spiritually right, like we think, oh, this is the best practice, or I'm so elevated, or whatever it is. So anytime we think that, that's like a little warning sign. No, you know, think again. And so anytime we feel we're on a side, you know, and even though, look, I would say I'm super liberal, that's where my tendencies are. But anytime we're split, black and white, you know, left or right, whatever, that's where we need to think again. Like if oneness is the overarching answer, then how can a split be the correct answer? And so I think what a lot of people are having to look at, and the pandemic brought this on, is like the pandemic brought us all to look at all of our habits and all of the ways we were distracting and amusing ourselves. My husband and I used to go out to restaurants like fairly often. And now we haven't, I think we had a restaurant one time takeout. We were very excited, but when we got to it, I think we had, pizza we had, but it was just not like, it was not the great joy that we had expected. And I think the thing was, oh, this habit, this distraction, this, what are we going to do? Let's go out and get some food. Or let's go out and get entertainment. It was like, that's been taken away. And we realize we were just distracting. And now with all this time and energy to do other things, it's really quite a different way of living. And instead of distracting all the time.
And it's really interesting, isn't it? Because even now, I mean, we're in our third national lockdown in the UK. So, you know, and this, it's like, you know, you can feel it's wearing people down, because this is also the second time that kids have been kept at home, so homeschooling, all that kind of thing. So there is kind of this growing feeling of like Groundhog Day as well. Which, you know, is kind of an interesting one. So it really is forcing people to really look deeper, or just kind of see how they can just keep going, you know, to dig deep, as it were. So given that a lot of people are being quite fritzed at the moment in their energy because of like the, you know, wanting to, like, this whole situation to shift on, and oh, you know, we can go back to normal, we can go back to eating in restaurants. Clearly it's never going to be quite that, but how can people kind of take care of their energy and kind of state of being right now?
I think that if you look at the pandemic as a place to, one, get rid of your fear of your own mortality or the mortality of others. So that's been another big piece that's, it's all brought us. I remember at the beginning of the pandemic, I wrote letters to everyone in my family in the case, you know, if I were to pass. And that was when we were, you know, washing our groceries and things were pretty panicked. But just facing that really puts your life in a different perspective, and facing that this is one lifetime, we are infinite beings, and so we're going to have lots of lifetimes. We've already had lots of lifetimes, and just holding that view instead of grasping, like, I don't want to die, I don't want people to die. It's a very big spiritual step to look at your own passing. And this is why in shamanic practices, you know, with a spirit animal, that you're always like getting all your flesh picked off your bones when you're journeying. Like,
Yes.
So, you know, that's because the universe wants us to be comfortable with this idea of reincarnation and going into different forms. So that's kind of the big question is, yes, we're infinite souls. That means we're going to pass, and this is the reality. So let's look at it. The next is pandemic's really given people time to really decide what they like. I like writing and doing this kind of stuff, so I've been spending a lot more time doing this. Other people are doing art, or they're planting gardens, or they're doing cooking, or they're reading to their kids. And so looking at the space that it gives, if we're not on our phones, look at the space that it gives to enjoy our personal interests is really, because your gifts and talents are usually where your destiny or your soul path is leading you. So the more we become attuned to our own particular creative gifts or interest areas, the more we're led to our path in this lifetime.
Yeah, I love that. So it's almost like the great conveyor belt of life is like moving people towards their destiny, whether they're aware of it or not, kind of thing.
I think so. I do think so. Yeah. Yeah. Because without the pause, we would just be hurtling along on, in a lot of the channeling, they'll say like society's map can't take you where you're trying to go. And it's this idea that each of us has our personal place that we're heading and is very unique to each of us.
Yeah, love that. So, I mean, you know, purpose is a really big thing. I mean, you know, I'm just throwing the word purpose onto what you're talking about here, destiny, direction, whatever you want to call it. But obviously, especially for kind of millennials, Gen Z, the word purpose is a really important one. So how do we, start to dig into that sense of what our purpose is at a kind of soul level, as it were, as opposed to just a life purpose, as it were?
It's so interesting. I get a lot of letters from people who are maybe older, say 60 or older, and they're kind of along the lines of, I've done all these things, so many experiences, so many paths, and I really don't understand my purpose. And then conversely, now I'm seeing it's really hard for people in these millennials or like 20s and 30s because the opportunities at the moment are so limited. I think this is going to actually change really quickly, but it's so difficult to have a person who's, you know, so good at music or such a good communicator or so loving of a caretaker. And then, you know, they're doing, you know, food delivery because that's all that they can get. And so I think two parts. One, for the person who has really had a lot of experiences but doesn't feel that thread going through, I would guess if you looked at the thread, it is there. It's just, again, not society's map. It's not necessarily what society says you were supposed to do. Mm-hmm. Anytime you're a soul and you're coming in and you're contributing your awareness to any situation, that is your purpose. I used to know a woman and she would say, my purpose is my presence. And I just love that. Like your purpose is just showing up and being part of whatever's happening. I like to think now my purpose is my contribution. Feels really good to me for what we're going through. And for the people that are younger, on the one hand, how can I contribute if all I can do is, you know, food delivery? But they are contributing right now because they are changing the very discussion of how our society should be through their own efforts. So maybe it's not a job purpose at the moment, but it's a political or cultural revolution that is happening at the moment with that group.
Right. Absolutely. I think, and it is that thing, isn't it? It's a much deeper question now. I remember kind of talking to lots of people over the last 20 years about, you know, the notion of life purpose. It's almost like, you know, a life purpose is not a job description. Right. You know, it's a much bigger thing than that. And I think that's another part of the expansion that's happening now. It's like, how do we contribute to the collective and the whole, as it were? So a place I'd love to go with you is, because it's so central in this notion of direct connection, is, however, you know, not everyone who's listening, of course, is going to process in terms of like connecting to guides or to, you know, the universe or God or whatever you want to call it or whatever. But the word intuition seems to be a fairly universal one, for want of a better term. So what for you is intuition, and why is it so important to lean into it, as it were?
I would call it now, it's an instantaneous knowing or direct knowing. And I had this sort of argument with an editor once because I kept using the word instantaneous and she kept crossing it out saying, no, it's not instantaneous. You have to work at it and do, you know, three mantras and four breaths and then it takes a while. It's like, no, it's yeah, it's the, and those practices are fantastic. It's just for intuition, it's an instantaneous hit, or possibly like in the work that I teach a lot, we'll answer the question before we know what the question is. We'll use intuition to do that. And this helps people understand that the answer is always floating out there. All you have to do is sort of get yourself out of the way to know it. And this is where part of, like, we are so trained, we are so educated to work with linear or rational mind. That's how we've been educated. That's how we've been educated to use our brains. But in intuition, we're using right brain, we're using expanded brain, we're using the, what are those, like the spider outline instead of the linear outline. Yeah, yeah. You know, we're trying to make all the associations to everything all at once. And if you start to kind of hang out in that place for a while, your ability speeds up and suddenly, boom, it's just, you're walking around in this state of just kind of knowing what's going to happen, or knowing how things are going to be, or knowing what the energy is. You just sort of are with, or you are one with the universe as it's happening right now. It's pretty fascinating.
Right. And really, really. And it's kind of, what I'm hearing that is like, you know, as we've kind of said in previous conversations, like, you know, there are a lot of people, as you say, in that very rational mind kind of place who are like, you know, intuition or whatever else. But it's like, why would you not tap into it? It's, you know, and I think a lot of people are comfortable calling it even gut feeling, but it's the same thing, right?
I was, right now, part of, we're working on this chakra course, and one of the teachings in there was the gut as your second brain, because it helps you feel, your gut helps you be a third chakra, helps you be, it helps you be aware of your emotions. And so emotions are one of the, like the alert systems or the warning systems that help intuition. It's that moment when something feels different. And it's interesting because in rational thought or linear brain, we're taught to follow the protocol and takes you to one solution. In intuition, we're taught to feel everything and then go with where the feeling is showing us or where the feeling is more pronounced. I certainly wouldn't want someone building a car to be using intuition necessarily. I would want them to be using right brain, right? So I think that there's tons of room for both. And some people are going to be better with one system. Some people are going to be better with another. I think if people are very linear, one of the ways to get in touch with their intuition is to let other forces do the heavy lifting. So like they might go into nature and let all that vibration of nature kind of open them up. Or they might listen to music, which is another system that opens us. They don't have to struggle necessarily with meditation if that doesn't feel like a good fit for them right away.
Right. So, I mean, let's kind of get really brass tacks, as it were, because, you know, there are those of us like kind of go with the flow, and there are those people that kind of want the prescription, right, as it were. So if, it, you know, having, you know, benefited from a lot of your teaching and knowing that you have lots of great ways in. What are kind of one or two kind of techniques that people might be able to use to kind of tap into their intuition, their instantaneous knowing, their, you know, inner wisdom, as it were?
I love the idea of people writing three questions about their life. You know, what should I do about this relationship? What's going to happen in my job? What's going to happen in the next couple months? And write those questions, just very mellow, easy questions for the universe to answer, and put them in their pocket or in an envelope. And then sometime later in the day, or maybe even a day later, just take some time, take a moment, and just sit quietly and allow memories or visions to come in to your imagination for the first question. And maybe, maybe you're going to have a memory about, I'm just making this up, you building something. And then you'll just kind of go into that memory and sort of be informed by that. And then you'll have that awareness of like, oh, that was the question about my job. And my job does not really use any of my skills building things. And so you're looking for a relational answer. And it often comes with a memory or that kind of daydreamy state where you just start to see something interesting. You're just kind of flowing with that. But the idea is to put the questions and the floaty daydreamy state kind of apart from each other in time, and then go back and associate those. So that would be one thing. The other thing to do would be do the same thing. Write those three questions and then go for a walk or a run or a swim, or go sit in a tree, under a tree, and just allow that same meandering thought. The other part of the nitty-gritty is we detach from outcome. So even if you desperately want job A, if your vision or memory is saying, something completely different, we allow that to guide us rather than attaching so fiercely to what we think we want. Because often what we think we want is really like a very much lower version from what the universe is attempting to bring us. So we don't want to get stuck on preconceived notions.
Yeah. I love that. That real kind of, as you say, that kind of almost daydreamy state, it really helps to create those relationships that you're talking about, doesn't it?
And the other thing is, like, the second place would be notice what's happening. The universe is always bringing these events to us that show what things are happening. This year, I've committed to doing video, which I haven't done at all. And the minute I did that, you know, you're like, hey, do you want to, I'm like, video? Oh yeah, that's what I just committed to yesterday. Okay, I guess I'll be doing that. And some other things came, and it's just like the minute we step into this flow, more flow happens. So notice where things are moving and head in that direction, even if it's not where you thought you were going.
Yeah, I love that. And just kind of one thing just round that piece off, because obviously you can get answers and that kind of thing. And it's one thing to kind of, you know, make the shift from pure rational linear mind to opening up to that. But then there's this other thing, isn't there? That other step of, right, okay, I've sort of have this indication. Now there's the trust part or the acting on it kind of part. So how do we kind of grow to trust and act on that insight, as
it were? For me, I was very distrustful. I was very, I loved the idea of it, this intuition being this kind of magical, mystical skill. And because I had such a practical life and so many responsibilities, I really wasn't, feeling very trusting about just throwing myself into that direction. What happened for me is, every time I went in the direction where intuition was leading me, either by memories or visions or seeing what was moving, that worked. And so over time, it's like, oh, I did that and that. It was just trial by error. Once you start practicing and just giving it a try, you kind of like, ah, that worked. And that worked. And wait, that worked too? What? And then you just realize that this is a method that you can continue to use. Like, it's a dependable system that actually works. And, you know, the trees and the weather, and they don't worry about these things, right? They just exist in beingness. And I think it's egoic, like literally egoic of us to think that we're all that much different. We can follow the same rules that nature follows or that the weather follows. We can just be a part of this great flow that's happening.
Yeah, I love that. I love that. Thank you. So just kind of coming to wrap up, as it were, I'm just kind of curious, what is calling you next on your journey, as it were?
My journey next is video, because
yes,
I've been so resistant, and probably I've even said years ago, I will never do video, never. And so that's what I'm going to do this year. I don't know why. I'm called to do that, guided to do that. And I really want to explore nature communication, like not so much ancient shamanism or traditional, but I want to explore it in my own way and see what happens. So that is what I've been working on. I'm working on a new book about that, about how to communicate with nature, same way we communicate with guides and so forth, but this way with natural beings and those entities, and seeing what happens there.
Oh, I love that. I can't wait for that to come out. Will that be out this year?
Or? I think so. I think it will. It's
awesome. It's
pretty far along. So
awesome. Great stuff. Yeah. So last but not least, where can people find out more about your work and find out more about you?
Oh, yes. Thank you. They can go to sarahweisman.com. And the best thing is I have lots of free stuff, and I have $15 courses, many, many of those. And then I have a direct training also, Intuition University. So people can do as little or as much as they are interested in.
Awesome. Awesome. And having been through several of your Intuition University courses, I can so heartily recommend them. It's not even funny. So
thank you.
It's awesome. Absolutely awesome. So thank you so much, Dara, for being with us. It's been an absolute pleasure. We've been through a bit of a journey to get here, but here we are.
Great.
Thank you so much for being with us this week.
It's just my great pleasure. Thank you, Chris. Thank you.
Awesome. Thank you. And there you go, ladies and gents, listening to the Sacred Wild Podcast. That's been Sarah Weisman. I'm Chris Theroy, your host, and this has been the Sacred Wild Podcast. We'll see you next time. Bye for now. Thank you so much for joining me on the Sacred Wild Podcast. I really hope you enjoyed this episode and got something meaningful out of it. And if you did, please consider leaving a review on iTunes. Those reviews really help us out, and they're what keep us here. Also, please make sure to hit subscribe and share this podcast with your friends and loved ones. And with that, many blessings, and I look forward to seeing you next time on the Sacred Wild Podcast. Bye for now.